I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with attorney Rachel Rose about emerging health data security and privacy regulatory issues. So, Rachel, what are some of the top health data privacy and security regulatory, legislative, and compliance issues that you are keeping an eye on for the weeks and months ahead, and why?
So, first, Marianne, I'm always keeping a pulse on HIPAA and the requirements under the privacy rule and the security rule, as well as subsequent to the 21st Century Cures Act passing in December of 2016 and the two final rules, which were promulgated in May of 2020. Among those rules was information blocking. The reason I'm honed in on those is, as you and I have discussed in a variety of different articles, HHS OCR continues to focus on the privacy rule and providing information to patients. And information blocking directly relates to that. And so that's one broad area that I'm constantly keeping a pulse on and advising my own clients to be mindful of. Additionally, in relation to the requirement to give patients their records in the format that they typically request, although there are several exceptions to information blocking, which can be implemented by an entity, the time frame for giving patients their requested medical records may vary by individual state. So it's incumbent upon covered entities or business associates, if they are part of the process, to make sure that they are also meeting the state requirements too, because state AGs may be filing enforcement actions as well. Another area continues to be the security rule and the ongoing requirements to have an annual HIPAA risk analysis to ensure that data is encrypted both at rest and in transit, ensuring that business associate agreements are up to date and signed, as well as making sure that the workforce is continually trained in at least one comprehensive training every year. And then lastly, making certain that policies and procedures are reviewed, especially as more states implement privacy regulations. We've seen Colorado come out with the first artificial intelligence law. We recently saw a very significant settlement between the Texas AG and Meta, the company formerly known as Facebook, for biometric violations. And that settlement was $1.4 billion. So these are all areas that, in general, I always keep a pulse on.
So, Rachel, with that said, what about health data security and privacy enforcement trends by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and then also the Federal Trade Commission? What should healthcare entities be paying most attention to when it comes to these federal regulatory agencies?
So one area is data tracking. And as we've seen really since 2021 with the Flow settlement with the Federal Trade Commission, but more significantly since the beginning of 2023, really the FTC has focused on data privacy and obtaining appropriate consumer consent when information is being utilized by third parties for downstream sales and or marketing purposes. So data tracking, but with an additional purpose of potential downstream remuneration, whether it's to the company who is, quote, the face of the website, or if they are using Google or Meta or another third party like that. One key distinction to always look at from my perspective, and I do this whenever I am conducting a risk analysis for either covered entities or business associates, is what is the purpose behind the third party tracking. A, have they given adequate notice that it's being utilized? B, if it is for the purposes of cybersecurity, then is there an adequate business associate agreement or data privacy and security agreement in place? And if it's being used for an area that can implicate HIPAA, if it's a covered entity or business associate under the HIPAA umbrella, or if it is an entity that's covered under the Federal Trade Commission's health breach notification rule, then is adequate consent being obtained either by the patient for their protected health information being utilized in that manner, because that can implicate potential criminal HIPAA violations and other violations of HIPAA's marketing and sales provisions, or again, as we've seen with the trend over the past year and a half, really, with the Federal Trade Commission, have consumers been given adequate notice and the ability to opt out? So that is something that will continue to be a focus. And the reproductive healthcare facet of that is another area to keep an eye on, although we may see flux in this area with the upcoming election. So that's just something to be mindful of.
So now, Rachel, you mentioned HIPAA, and we recently saw a multi-state enforcement action by the attorneys general of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut against Enzo Biochem for a 2023 ransomware attack on the biotech company that compromised the information of 2.4 million people nationwide. The AGs alleged that Enzo Biochem violated HIPAA and various state laws by failing to adequately safeguard the personal and private health information of its patients. Besides paying a $4.5 million financial settlement, Enzo has also agreed to take measures to improve its data security practices. So what do you make of this enforcement action by the state AGs in this case? And we've seen sort of similar cases before. What do you expect we might see looking ahead?
First, I would highlight that this is an area that continues to be material to both state AGs and to the federal government, whether it's through OCR, ONC, the DOJ, or the Federal Trade Commission. So first and foremost, this is not an issue that's going away. Secondly, this is a trend that I would keep a pulse on as organizations are evaluating their risk management programs, as well as board governance and enterprise risk management. Third, in relation to the report that was issued, what really stood out to me were three issues that everyone can learn from. First, they mentioned two, they call them risk assessments, but they're really risk analyses under HIPAA. For those who are well-versed in HIPAA, a risk assessment is basically a root cause analysis once a potential cyber incident has been brought to the entity's attention. But risk analyses is the term that refers to that annual comprehensive risk analysis of the technical, administrative, and physical safeguard requirements under the security rule. So the three items that stood out to me from that report were A, the AGs highlighted a 2017 risk analyses and a 2021 risk analyses. 4 years in terms of having a risk analysis done is far too long, especially with the ever shifting regulatory landscape, the technology growth, and the pervasiveness and perniciousness of the cyber attacks that the healthcare industry is experiencing. Second, the AGs noted that although there were gaps identified in the risk analysis, these gaps that were identified were never corrected, which is very problematic. And then the last facet was the continual monitoring of what are called alerts. And there are different types of programs that can detect the brute force attacks or when what I call cyber criminals are knocking on your door, to alert that IT person that there's a potential for an attack and they really need to look into that. So in light of these items, it really just underscores that cybersecurity, which is one of the 16 critical infrastructure sectors as it relates to healthcare by CISA, is not going away, and it's going to be incumbent upon all persons involved in creating, receiving, maintaining, or transmitting individually identifiable health information or protected health information to stay on top of their privacy and security.
So, Rachel, as you know, cyber criminals are continuing to attack healthcare entities and also their critical third-party vendors. And we've been seeing some really large breaches involving third parties, especially over recent months and years. Do you think we might see federal and or state authorities focusing more of their regulatory and or enforcement attention on third parties that handle sensitive health data looking forward, and why?
What's interesting right now is, as you may be aware, Marianne, SolarWinds is in negotiations with the SEC to settle that particular case after the judge dismissed the post-breach items associated. So they're focused on what's known as the pre-sunburst event. And SolarWinds, as we know, has been going on for approximately 6 years in terms of the initial breach. And to your point, that third-party impact that really, I look at it as a hub and spoke, and the trend that's very apparent to me is that, yes, cyber criminals are going for an entity that has a lot of spokes and that extends into a variety of different organizations. So by that, I mean, instead of targeting one hospital, they are going for a United Healthcare or Change Healthcare or a CrowdStrike or a SolarWinds that has a lot of healthcare clients, for example, as well as government, financial, defense, et cetera. And they're attacking that way. Most notably with the United Healthcare attack is that it really went to the heart of the revenue cycle for healthcare entities of all shapes and sizes. And so I think that's something that they are focused on too. What this underscores for me from a compliance standpoint is making sure that covered entities and business associates do adequate due diligence and really appreciate what they are attesting to in their business associate agreement, because the first part of any business associate agreement requires the parties to affirmatively state that they are aware of their obligations under HIPAA, the High Tech Act. I have added in the 21st Century Cures Act and information blocking, as well as relevant state laws. I also do the Federal Trade Commission health breach notification rule and red flags rule, as do a lot of other lawyers and entities as well. So ensuring, again, that you're doing adequate due diligence, that you're not attesting to something that you know to be false, it can come up later on, especially in the event of a post-breach scenario like the ones we mentioned.
So, Rachel, HHS earlier this year said it was considering new regulations that would be phased in and require hospitals to implement a set of essential and enhanced cybersecurity performance goals. Initially, these are voluntary. The idea is perhaps make these mandatory. What do you think of this idea? And if this was to be put into effect, do you think hospitals would be the only ones that would need to abide by these performance goals, or, you know, are hospitals too narrow? You know, what do you think?
So when I read the cybersecurity performance goals and the related guidance, I wrote an article on that and I compared the current requirements under law, under the security rule, and I mapped it to the quote performance goals and some of the other items. The only portion that I really looked at that did not map directly to a pinpoint CFR was multi-factor authentication. Although multi-factor authentication does come into play in other parts of the existing security rule, it is not a specific line item like encryption is expressly stated in the security rule. So I think that first, it cannot just be limited to hospitals. Hospitals, because of the number of patients they treat, as well as the services that they provide, I think everyone can agree that if you have a focal point where there are a lot of children, for example, in a children's hospital or in physicians' offices, you don't have individuals on life support or in critical care units, where if there's an attack and the machines go down, it could in fact have a very significant adverse patient outcome, including death. So I believe that it builds upon what's already required in the security rule, as well as information blocking and the privacy rule. And on August 5th, HHS published its proposed rule, which really brings together a lot of these items as well. And that site is 89 Federal Register 63498. And the notice and comment period is through October 4th of 2024, but a lot of what was highlighted in the cybersecurity performance goals and guidance, as well as an area that everyone should be looking at being generative artificial intelligence, really in this 332 pages is out there for consideration.
And finally, Rachel, as you mentioned, we do have an election coming up, so we really don't know, who will be in charge of HHS looking ahead to next year. But what are some of the top HIPAA and cyber issues that you think HHS should be focusing on in the months to come, regardless of who's in charge and why?
So whether it comes from the longstanding agency power to issue rules and regulations under HIPAA, that was expressly stated, and that was a power conferred by Congress to HHS in HIPAA itself on August 21st of 1996. So because courts have enforced the use of the privacy rule and the security rule, everything that we're seeing will still be a focus, not only because of HIPAA, the High Tech Act, and the 21st Century Cures Act, but also H.R. 7898, which was signed into law on January 5th of 2021, and really gives that protection if entities are complying with and utilizing recognized security standards. Additionally, we've seen executive orders continue through this administration, which really build on the initial cyber executive orders stemming back to the George W. Bush administration. So, in terms of cybersecurity, whether it's from the privacy side or the security side, I don't think we would see much difference regardless of what potential administration may come in. I think the biggest area is reproductive health care. And that's the one, as well as tracking, because of how the various state laws have played out. Although, in the Dobbs opinion, Justice Kavanaugh did expressly note that there is nothing in this opinion which is meant to interfere with the Commerce Clause, which is set forth in the Constitution. But that's what I would say are the biggest issues: reproductive, data tracking, and ongoing cyber enforcement.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel. I've been speaking to attorney Rachel Rose. I'm Mary Ann Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.